were talking last Sunday was the first 4 or 5 verses from chapter 10, 10 to 11, Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is telling Uddhava that how to get oneself prepared for spiritual life. How to prepare oneself for spiritual life. That's why he started with. So we were discussing that about the nature of this body. That's what we were talking about, isn't it? The nature of this body. Body is nothing but actually, although it's 5 material elements with which we identify very strongly, is actually in the hands of material nature. Material nature decides what will happen to this body. That's what we were talking about. So, at that time, we have mentioned that the material body, because of our identification due to false ego in us, we get into difficulties. False ego and material body are 2 different things. If you want to understand this more, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which will talk the same thing but in a verse form. That's all it is. The substance is the same. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. That verse again appears in the 3rd canto of Kapilam, Kapila Vasudeva's instructions to Devahuti also, where exactly the same verse is quoted. In other words, what it is saying is, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Material nature is deciding or it actually executing its process of what to deal with our material body. Our material body is under the control of the material nature, not under the control of our false ego. This is what it's saying. That only when you think that ahangaram vimudhatma kartaha vimanyade, ahangaram is the cause, or the false ego is the cause, which is making us to think that the body is under our control. Number one. And every activity that is executed by the material body, we think that it is us who are executing, although in reality it is executed by the material nature. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find this coming up in different places and different ways. In another place, Krishna will say, Ishwara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. These are all very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, they are not verses, they are mantras. The difference between a verse and a mantra, or a shlokam and a mantra, is this. Shlokam can be written about anything, even if you want to describe the nature outside, a beautiful garden or beautiful lake, you can write a verse over it. But mantram, mananal idi trayade idi mantraha, that is what it means. That mananam, if you reflect on these verses deeply, what will happen? It will protect you, save you from material life. Material existence, in other words. That means it can lead you to self-realization. That's why it's called mantram. Actually, all these verses in the Ekadasham as well as in the Bhagavad Gita is mantram, more than verses. So it would be wrong to say they are just verses. It's mantra, actually. Like Ishopanishad, if you take, there is 18 verses, we say. But actually, there are 18 mantras. All Upanishads are Upanishad mantras. Mananal idi trayade idi mantraha. That means by mananam, by continuous reflection on them and deeply absorbing in that and getting the, extracting the essence of that verse from different ways, how the sages have given us that knowledge, because they have put everything in a very condensed form through this mantra. So, this is a verse like that all this, Ishwara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi, in every, Krishna is present in everyone's heart, Arjuna. Brahmayan sarva bhudani, all the living entities are being rotated by him. Yantrarudhani mayaya, just like one of these giant wheels, where you are going up and down in that. Exactly the same way, we are also controlled by Krishna's energy. That's what Krishna is saying there. So the same thing, ahangara vimudhatma kartaha mirmanyade. But I am thinking, because of my false ego inside, that I am the doer. I am conducting the affairs. But to realize this will only happen when the knowledge is strengthened inside. When jnanam, the knowledge has become stronger inside, then you can see that the 2 things are acting independently. That means the false ego is acting independently and the body is acting independently. Up to that point, you will always think that I am in control of the body. anything what, any interaction with the material body and the material nature, we will identify with that due to our false ego, and we think we are actually controlling the scene. In these things there should be no doubt, because it's Krishna's words. There is no question of asking, how can that happen, how can this happen? It doesn't mean anything. Krishna is saying to us, who created all of us in this particular pattern, with mind, intelligence, false ego and senses and material body, he is telling us that this is the reality. All the sages, because of their compassion for us, they are opening up all these things and giving us the instruction how to take it seriously. So therefore, instead of accepting that, instead of checking it out whether it's right or wrong, that will be wrong on our part to do that. That's how Vedic tradition is. Krishna's instructions are absolute. There is no question of changing that. That you can't change that. It is the way it is. That is not going to change. So, one who is acquiring for the truth, one who is chasing the truth, Krishna is giving you the process also, how to follow that process. So one who is following that process, he has to follow this principle. Then he should not say that I do not have the time. That is wrong thing to say. I do not have the time to do all these things. If you do not have the time, you have to find the time. That is the answer to that. That there is not much time left in any way in life to do everything. So that is the question. That serious person, when he comes to spiritual life, you have to find the time for it. You can't keep making the excuse that I just don't have the time. If you don't have the time, you have to find the time. Krishna is saying here that material nature has its own decisions. Material nature makes the decisions. That earlier in the beginning, you have to give some time for this knowledge of Krishna, what Krishna has given us. And ultimately, you have to give complete time for Krishna. Otherwise, it has no meaning. That's what Krishna is saying here, that one should individually find himself, his connection with the body first thing. I am not this body. Body is not mine, and body will not be of any benefit to you. These three things. I am not this body, body is not mine. I am not this body, body is not mine. And this body will not be of much use to you either. All these things, we have to come to conclusions from Krishna's these verses in the Bhagavatam. Mayodideshavahidaha sodharmesho madashraya varnashamakulacharam agamatma samacharel anvikshetha vishuddhatma dehinam vishayatmanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha vibhajayam suptasya vishayan loko dhyayato va manoradaha nanatmagatvadhivala tatha bhedatmade gunehi nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparasya jel jijnyasayam sampravarto madriye karma chodanam. When we were seen also that the first one has to understand one's own body and one's relationship with the body, number one. Secondly, one's own mind and one's relationship with the mind. At that point we have seen that how we have talked about this hridaya granthi, isn't it? Granthi means, you can say, it's like a knot. Attachment, it's like a knot attached to the body. The knot between the mind and the body, how that attachment is. It's just like a knot, it says in the Bhagavatam. I mentioned about this also, that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapter 24, where there is a verse referring to in Matsyavataram. Matsyavataram, that means when the fish incarnation happened, King Satyavrata started glorifying the fish. If you read those verses, you see in Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa introduces knowledge at different times through glorifications. Basically, glorifications are meant to teach us about the science of Krishna consciousness. So that's where he mentioned about that earlier, that he mentioned that Tvam Dhamaham Devavaram Marenyam Prabhadyamisham Pratibodhanaya Chindyarthadive Bhagavan Majovir Grandin Khadayan Vivanaswamokaham. That was that verse. Tvam Tamaham Devavaram Marenyam Satyavratam, King Satyavratam, Satyavrata is saying to fish, Krishna's form of fish, is saying to the fish, Tvam Tamaham Devavaram Marenyam Prabhadyamisham Pratibodhanaya. Unless I have, if you do not illuminate me from inside, If you do not illuminate me from inside, what will happen? Chindyarthadivair Bhagavan Vajobairam. This, unless this illumination of the of the knowledge comes from inside, from Krishna's side, generally, most of the cases, whether he is a jnani, yogi or a devotee, whatever it may be, in the early days in spiritual life, he executes sadhana. Sadhana bhakti is executed. After executing sadhana bhakti for some time, Krishna gives everyone some realization in spiritual life. A little bit, here and there, one will get, so that Krishna wants him to continue that path further. So Krishna will give some encouragement from inside, but after that Krishna withdraws. He withdraws from the scene. Then he wants the living entity continue to struggle very, very hard through the sadhana process. Sadhana is necessary. And because only by doing that, that false ego inside will go. Otherwise the false ego will never go. False ego will never go. It is that false ego in another form is this knot we were talking about. So Deha Granthi or that knot of attachment with the body is that false ego. So till that false ego goes away, we may try very hard with a lot of sadhana, upasana, chanting the holy name for a very, very, very intensely and for a very long period of time, studying Srimad Bhagavatam and withdrawing from the external world as best as one can and trying to advance on the Krishna consciousness. But while that is happening, while all this is happening, there is possibility that you will not feel any kind of encouragement from anywhere. There is always the possibility you feeling depressed about it. At some point, a sadhaka or one who is executing sadhana, he will start feeling a little kind of moroseness, and he also thinks, what am I going to do now? I'm not going anywhere. This kind of thoughts will develop. This is quite natural. Actually, it is nothing but a situation happens in order that our false ego goes away from us. For that false ego to disappear, it is necessary. And Krishna will wait for that opportunity till that. That's why Satyavrata says to Krishna, Grandin Hridayan Vivana Samogaha, that Hridaya Grandhi will not go by your effort. As you keep on doing, executing sadhana, eventually Krishna will come, Kriba or Krishna's mercy will come from the other side and he will swallow that Hridaya Grandhi completely. He will take it away completely. It is at that time only you can surrender to Krishna. Otherwise surrender is never complete. Actual surrender is like that. When do we surrender to Krishna? We will not surrender to Krishna unless Krishna decides and takes this Hridaya Grandhi from inside. That is Krishna's kripa or Krishna's mercy. But prior to doing that, prior to Krishna doing that, a devotee has to do his role. Devotee has to execute his role also. And that is sadhana or upasana. Upasana, by executing sadhana constantly for a very, very long time, the devotee will realize that he is helpless in this world. He cannot go any more further because he has done as much as he could and still he is not getting very far. It is at that point that Krishna's mercy comes at one day and takes away that Hridaya Granthi or the false ego from him. So that's what that Hridaya Granthi, Vidyan Granthi in Hridayan Vivanaswam Avagaha, that Satyavrata Muni knew this very well. So he said to Krishna that my Hridaya Granthi will never break, particularly a king. King's Hridaya Granthi is much more stronger than the ordinary people, isn't it? Because he's a powerful king, there is such more stronger Hridaya Granthi also. Grandin Hridayan Vivranasamogaha. So he is asking Krishna that somehow or the other you should enter inside. And what actually comes is Krishna's what is known as a Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is Radharani. Radharani comes in and takes away that false ego from inside. And once Radharani takes that false ego inside, and then we come to the platform of pure bhakti. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Till that time, everything is based on our sadhana. Sadhana continues up to that point. Up to that point, sadhana will continue. Once we reach that point, then there is no more sadhana bhakti. Once the false ego is gone, then it is pure bhakti. Up to that time, it is sadhana bhakti. So, Soma, Tvam Dhamaham Deva Varan Varenyam, Prabhadyamisham Pratibodhanaya. Prabhadyamisham Pratibodhanaya. That Krishna has to do that for us from inside. He is inside. He knows how much false ego we have. The size of our false ego, Krishna knows. How big is it? How small is it? Tumvam varenyam, tumdvamaham, devavaram varenyam. What it is saying here is that actually we have this misunderstanding that the only few things what is blocking my spiritual life is the few things like lust, anger, greed and things like that. What we do not know is that if they are sorted, then I am perfect as a devotee. We are thinking in our mind like that, isn't it? We think, because sometimes we are out of control, we say something or do something without being conscious of what's happening. But actually, from Bhagavatam you can see that all these kind of emotions like lust, anger, greed, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, competition with others and the false pride in us and greed, lust, anger, all of these things, their origin is this false ego. Their origin is this false ego. If these things are happening, we are getting anger, we are getting greedy, we are getting lusty, we are getting want to compete with somebody else, all these things is happening in life, you have to think that the false ego is very strong inside. So actually what we have to say to Krishna is not to take all these things away. If you ask him only one thing to take away, that false ego, it will solve the problem. And that's what Satyavrata Muni has done here. He said, Grandin hridayan vivrana swamogaha. That hridaya grandi, somehow or the other, if you can break it, then all these things will go one immediately. Nothing will come after that. So, that is what Krishna is, that is what it is spoken there. So, here we have seen that the Krishna is actually moving the material nature. We also talked about what Bhishmadev said, isn't it? Bhishmadev said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that yad eshamna anichindanam, that when Yudhishthira spoke about all the problems to Bhishma, Bhishma said to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, don't spoil your mind with all these kinds of thoughts. There is only if you think about it, there is a problem. If you don't think about it, there is no problem. This was his answer to that. Because what is normally happens is material nature is working on its own in this world. And so many activities which we allow to get into our mind, we allow them to get into our mind. We allow them to get into our mind and then we develop possessiveness of that particular issue. We become possessive of that. And also different sangalpam. Sangalpam means some kind of bhavana, imagination in our mind. Just like television serials. Some people, in order to get out of their own family problems or their own problems, they go and switch on the serials in the television, isn't it? They watch the serials and they feel a relief from their own problems, their own family issues or family problems, whatever it is. They find a relief by watching these programs in the television. But what they do not know is, those problems which they thought were not their problems, eventually those problems in the television will become their own problem. This is what happens. That is why these serials and these kinds of cinemas and all kinds of entertainment, they are not meant for human society. They are not actually meant for human society. They can't help. Because they will only actually temporarily, you may feel a relief from the material miseries by getting into involving somebody else's problems. But so, the eventually they become your own problems. That's what it is. So that sangalpam. On the other hand, what Bhagavatam is pointing out is this, that instead of getting involved in more in the problems of this world, withdraw from the problems. It is only due to imagination or the sangalpam inside and also due to possessiveness that is becoming your problem. And this Bhagavatam insists is necessary even in our relationship with our own family. Otherwise it will all become your problem. This is what is normally happen. Everyone gives you problems from all over the world. And you are carrying all the problems day and night and thinking that it's my problem. And we end up eventually don't know which direction to turn. Not that you have to tell them that that's your problem, you forget about. That's not what it means. What Krishna is saying here is that even if one has to handle life in the family life or in the material world, this possessiveness or accepting that as your problem must go from inside. This is called sankalpa. Thinking that sankalpa, taking everything upon your own head and thinking that it's your problem. This is a kind of imagination which the mind does. One who has given up this is a sannyasi. He is a sannyasi. Krishna will talk about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Sarva sankalpa sannyasi yoga arudas tado chede. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Sarva sankalpam. Sankalpam means this thing. Taking everything upon. A sannyasi has no sankalpam. That is the understanding. No possessiveness of anything. He is not accepting anything as his own. He is doing in this world completely independent. He is acting because he knows he belongs to Krishna's world. He is Krishna's servant. So I don't have any responsibility in this world. In that way, sannyasi has to act. If a householder also is able to act in that way, then he is also a sannyasi. Sannyasi is not the dress. This is what is more important for a sannyasi. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi yoga arudas tadochyade. That sarva sankalpam, complete sankalpam has been given away. That is a sannyasi symptom. Whereas anyone who develops attachment to anything in this world and acts on that level is not a sannyasi. So any devotee or any householder or anyone can become a sannyasi if he gives up all the sankalpam. All the sankalpam means for different people it is different things, isn't it? In the householder life, so many sankalpams comes from the wife's side, from the children, from other people, relatives, all sorts of things. They will all be expecting many, many things, and you make it, accept it as your own problem, and then you start working in that direction, then you will suffer. That's what Krishna is saying there. That is not a good thing. Even in family life, one has to make one's own life independent in that sense. That sarva sankalpam should not allow to get in and become a part of your problems, because tamarudas tadochyade, that then you will fall from your spiritual position. It's not conducive for spiritual advancement. So Krishna is saying here that in the next verse you will see Krishna makes this little bit more clear. Jayamatya griha kshetra svajana dravinadishu. If you look into that word, one verse later. Jayabhatya grihakshetra sujanadravinadishu udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artham yuvalmanaha. This is knowledge. Knowledge is this. Jayabhatya grihakshetra sujanadravinadishu. Krishna is saying jaya means wife and children. Jayabhatya griham home, then kshetram the field, sujanam one's own people, dravinadishu. And the all the wealth, what is associated with that. Jayamatya grihakshetra svajanam dravinadishu. What does Krishna say? Udasina samam pashyan. Udasinam. Udasina nature. Udasinam means that not taking completely on your head, as though it's yours. He says, Krishna once said, udasinatvam, there. Today what we have is, we have udasinam towards Krishna, and complete responsibility for the world. This is our position. Krishna says, so long as you are in this platform, there is no spiritual life for you. It's not possible. Udasina samam pashyan. Udasina nature. Udasina means, I don't know what the exact English translation for. Udasina means a kind of indifference towards everything. Not deliberately acting independently, but you'll have to do it, what you have to do it. Happily you will do it for others, what you have to do. But when it comes to your own spiritual interest, that stands above everything else. That kind of mood. That not at the cost of your spiritual realization that you have to do so many things in this world. Krishna does not agree. If one who wants to realize Krishna, one who wants to realize the soul, Krishna is saying that is the way to go. Jaya bhatya griha kshetram svajana dravina adishu udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artham ivalmanaha. What is the reason for that? Sarveshu artham ivalmanaha. Krishna is saying that in all these things, there is only one thing, what is truth? That is the soul. And it is that soul which is present in everything, in the wife, in the children, in the family, in the home, and in the field, in the wealth, in everything. What is truth is only the soul. So knowing very well that the soul is one, and this soul is present in everything in so many different forms, it is present, and to develop attachment to all these different forms, and to think that that's mine and I am theirs, they are mine and I am theirs. In this way, if I develop a consciousness like that, Krishna says, you are not seeing anything properly. You are not seeing anything properly. Jaya bhatya griha kshetram sujana dravina adishu udasinam samam pashyan. This is how one can come to that platform of equal vision. Udasina samam pashyan sarveshu artham ivalmanaha. Otherwise, it is not possible to realize this. So, Krishna has spoken about that here in this verse. And you can see also, all these things require some reflection. We consider that family is ours and we belong to this family. And people are searching after their family identity, aren't they? And they want to look for their generations before where it started. You know, all these kind of things goes on. In the websites you search and then go find out what is the family tradition, where it started. This is all no meaning as far as spiritual life is concerned, is there? What Krishna is saying there is that try to understand, Krishna says, when you were a little boy or a girl, when you were at school, you had friends. And at that time you were thinking that all these friends will be with me throughout life, isn't it? Most of us thought like that, the school friends, to start with. And as soon as you finished the schooling, they all gone different directions. Somebody went to study something, somebody went to do something, somebody went to some other country, somebody went to some other city. Like that, they all went away. Then you went to college, and college also, you got new friends. The old ones are all forgotten in due course. And then in the college, you got new friends, and you are thinking, oh, another 5 years, I'm going to be with them, and they'll be my friends for life. In this way, they are appearing and disappearing in life all the time. Is it not? They are appearing and disappearing in life all the time. And then after 30, 40 years, you have gone very old, and somewhere in the airport you met one friend from your school days, who are very close to you. So that friend said, where are you from? I said, oh, I am from that village. Oh, I am also from the same village, he says. Then you start talking to him. He says, oh, you are so and so and so. I said, yes, we know, I remember we were together, isn't it? 50, 60 years have gone by then. So all relationships are like that. Krishna is also saying, family life is also like that. They have come to your life now and they will also go one day. You can't take that also as the absolute, exactly like the school and college. The people who have come, the wife, children, they also have come to your life at a particular time. Before you met your wife, who knew each other? Whoever was she or whoever was he? After meeting and marrying, we start thinking of, we are in terrible love each other. But before that, where was all this love? We didn't know her, she didn't know you. And you are thinking that, oh, they are my partner, they are my lifelong, forever we are going to be together. They are making even plans to go to the spiritual world and being together there. This is the foolishness of this mind, what creates in us. Nobody is together. We are only with one person, that's Krishna. Nobody else. It's only our own stupidity and the mind makes us to think that we are all together all the time. And this togetherness, to feel that I am with this person, I am with that person, and we continuously meditate on that, it becomes a part of us. As usual, everything you meditate on it, it becomes you, your soul, yourself. Isn't it? By constant meditation on that. And so, therefore, here he is saying here, Jayavatya grihakshetra sajana dravinadishu. Then, Jayavatya grihakshetram. Everything, Jaya, Vatyam, Abhatya, Griha, Kshetram, Sojanam, Dravinam. All of the Adishu, Krishna says. All these things. Udasina samam pashyan. If you do not develop this udasinatvam towards that, or this kind of indifference towards that, sarveshattam ivalmanaha. That is the essence of all these things. That due to our own prarabdham, they had come in our life. It is prarabdham that has brought two people together. It is prarabdham that the children were born in that family. And when the prarabdham is finished, they will all go in their own direction. And this is the law. Material nature's law is like that. And if we start to fight against that law, thinking that, oh, I'm not going to accept prarabdham, I'll do what I want, then we have to accept what the results also that comes from that. isn't it? So these are the things one should think about to prepare oneself in spiritual life. To prepare oneself in spiritual life, all these thoughts are necessary. Because only thinking through this, you will understand the position of the material body and the mind. Simply identifying the mind and the body, thinking that we will all work together. In spiritual life is never together. You are on your own. This is the most important point. From the Avadhuta Brahmana story, as well as later on, Krishna will also tell us about this. That you cannot execute. Every time you have to withdraw from the world outside. Within your own world, you have to create the spiritual world inside and see your progress in that direction. Otherwise, it's very difficult. But if you want the whole world to go with you to the spiritual world, that only Ramchandra can do. Only Ramchandra has done that. Nobody else has done that so far. Ramchandra, after ruling the planet for many, many years, while he was departing from this world, he told all the Ayodhya Vasis, all who lived in Ayodhya, to come to Sarayu River. And he told them that you all immerse in the water along with me. And they all immersed into the water. They dipped in the water, and when they came out of the water, they were all in the spiritual world in Ayodhya, spiritual Ayodhya. So, how is that possible? That Ramchandra can do. But we don't have Ramchandra with us at the moment. We have to do our spiritual activity, how it's been told to do. So, Krishna is saying here that all the these things have been told to us, not with the intention of disturbing our life. The sages had no intention to disturb us. Because it is coming from the great sages like Sukadeva Goswami and all the other great personalities. Because they are compassionate to us, they want us to be happy and peaceful in our life. Therefore, they are telling us these things. Otherwise, what does it matter to them, whether we get attached or don't get attached? But because they want us to be happy and peaceful, and only through peace one can execute spiritual life, the sages, out of their compassion for us, they tell us these things. And therefore, they also told us that they have told us that the only thing that is first thing, even in this life, without being attached to anything, still that false ego inside is very powerful. Ahangaram, it is called ahangaram. So unless the ahangaram goes away, getting closer to Krishna is very, very difficult. In Yoga Vasishtam, Ramachandra will talk about this to Vasishtha. Ramachandra says to Vasishtha, I have found out the person, he said. I have found out that thing which is causing me distress, he said. Which is causing me distress. What does he say? Ramachandra says to Vasishtha, Ahangara Vashad Apad. Ahangara Duradaya. Ahangara Duradaya. Ahangara Vashad Iha. Na Ahangara Paroripuhu. This was the statement in Yoga Vasishtam from Ramachandra talking to Vasishtha. What does it mean? Ramachandra is saying to Vasishtha, Ahangara Vashad Apad. All my problems, all the problems in life is only coming from one thing, my false ego. You say, my false ego. Ahangara Vashad Apad. All the Apad in trouble. Ramachandra was a young student at that time. And Vasishtha Maharshi was teaching him at the palace. Ramchandra, after he went on a journey, he came back. In Ramayanam, you can read that. Ramchandra was given education by Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha Maharshi was teaching him at the palace. So at that time, Ramchandra was in a very, very intense, renounced mood. He had no interest in his worldly life. He wanted to renounce everything and go away from this world. So at that point, Ramachandra was instructed by Vasishtha Maharshi. So Ramachandra, in deeper thought, of course, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is instructing in Ramachandra's form. Ramachandra is saying to Vasishtha, Ahangara Vashad Iham. Ahangara Vashad? Ahangara Vashad Abad. All the dangers in this world is coming only from Ahangaram, false ego. And then, Ahangara Dhyadeha. Ahangaram is the cause behind all the desires also. It's only Ahangaram, that is, if you think about it, many, many desires are developing. Why? Because of Ahangaram, the false ego inside. And ahangaram vashad iham. Ahangaram, because of ahangaram only, I have developed so many different problems. Iha, abhimanam. I'm pride also because of that. So ahangara vashad duradaya, ahangara vashad iha, na ahangarad paravaripuhu. Except ahangaram, except false ego, I have no other enemy within. I have no other enemy, Ramachandra says. That's my only enemy. So, before we look at life, we have to think, what is my greatest problem inside me? That problem inside me is this ahangaram. That ahangaram is difficult to explain. You can't quantify and you can't mention when it will wake up inside. Different situations in life you can observe and you can see how ahangaram has acted its own way. Ahangaram has acted its own way. Ahangaravashad apad. All the dangers have come from ahangaram. And ahangaravashad, ahangara duradeha. All different desires have also come from ahangaram. Ahangara duradeha. Then ahangaravashad iha. Ahangaram is the only thing that has created all the disturbances inside. Na ahangara paravaripuhu. Except ahangaram, I can't see any other enemy within me, he says. So, in other words, instead of thinking that kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsanyam, that means lust, anger, greed, competition with others, and pride, jealousy, envy, all different things, what you will see as you consider as your enemy, they all, the origin of all of that is this false ego. False ego is where it has originated from. Once that false ego has gone away, Gopi says to Krishna the same thing, isn't it? Gopi said to Krishna. What did Gopi say to Krishna? Nakhalu gobhika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madhrit. That you are not Yashoda Devi's son. Akhila dehinam andaral madhrit. You are inside of everyone as observing every living entity, how it is acting. And Vikhana Sartido Vishwaguptaye Sakamudeivan Satvadam Kulem. Though when if you study the Gopi's relationship with Krishna, Gopi's relationship with Krishna, you will find, you will notice there that how Krishna was taking their pride from them. Even they had pride, imagine, Gopis had pride. So, in Bhagavadam, the highest top-class devotees are gopis, aren't they? The topmost devotees, Krishna's topmost devotees are gopis. And even in their pastimes, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, you will observe one thing, that whenever ahangaram came up, or false ego came up in the gopis, Krishna disappeared. Krishna disappeared. In the middle of Rasa dance, Krishna disappeared from the scene, isn't it? Why? Why did Krishna disappear? Actually, through that pastime, it is Vedavyas wants to tell us also another important thing, that in our own execution of spiritual life, gopis are only examples to us. In our own execution of spiritual life, as soon as false ego comes in, which is already there, but as soon as it takes any form, immediately Krishna goes. Krishna goes from the heart. Then you fall. You fall from there. That's exactly what happened to the gopis also, isn't it? That tatraivandharadhiyada prashamaya prasadaya tatraivandharadhiyada. Chapter 29, if you read, look into 10th canto, you will find there. As soon as gopis felt that Krishna is with us, Krishna is mine, and each and every gopi started thinking that Krishna is mine. If soon as somebody thought like that, Krishna says, finish, that's it, I'm going. Krishna is gone. So even a very, this something is mine, where does that thought come from? Ahangaram. That's also ahangaram. The false ego can come in so many different forms in a person. Isn't it? In so many different forms it comes in us. Because a person who doesn't have a false ego, completely freed from false ego, he will have nothing to possess in this world. First thing. That's one thing. He will have nothing to possess in this world. He thinks nothing as his own. And his own very existence he denies. His own very existence he denies. Because he knows that Krishna is keeping him going. To such an extent, one has to be pure for the to have that relationship with Krishna. So when you study the Gopi's relationship, you can see a lot of things like that. But whatever it is, here now we are talking to Ekadasi Skanda, where Krishna is saying here that this is necessary for one who wants to give up advance in spiritual life. Ramachandra is telling us, Gopis are telling us. Ajari Swamiji is saying us in a different way. He says, Bhuktur Gale Kandagaval Pratigam. Something, this ahangaram is such a thing that something like a thorn which is stuck in the throat. It won't go and it will give you trouble all the time. Bhokturgale Kandagaval Pratidam. So that is how it is. That if you don't take it out, that thorn from inside, you don't feel comfortable. It's like a thorn inside, this ahangaram, false ego. And unless it is completely gone, you don't feel comfortable with life, isn't it? All the time it disturbs one form or the other. When Janaka Maharaj, Sita Devi's father, when he was in the palace in Mithila, he talked about it in a different way. One day, what happened to Janaka Maharaj was, he was reflecting, spiritually very advanced soul, wasn't it, Janaka, King Janaka. So while reflecting on that, Janaka Maharaj thought, what is this causing me so much problems in life? Because they are spiritually very advanced, elevated souls. They can analyze these things in the right way. They can analyze these things in the right way. So Janaka Maharaj, one day, while in the palace, he was sitting in the garden and reflecting on things. And he suddenly woke up and said, Prabuddhosmi, Prabuddhosmi. I got it now, he says. I got it, he says. What was it? He says here, that Prabuddhosmi, Prabuddhosmi. What did he say? He says, Dushto Choreya Almanaha. What is actually disturbing me? I found out the thief, he says. I caught him. He says like this. He says, I caught the thief who was giving me trouble all these days. That is how deeply they were absorbed in the thoughts. And his conclusion was, Manas Ashmi Dushto Choraya Almanaha Manina Mehan Hanyena. That this is what which was causing the problem to my mind, he says. Which one? This ahangaram. This false ego was causing the problem to my mind. I have caught him. That he has disturbed my peace of mind for such a long time. Ahangaram. False ego has disturbed my mind for such a very, very, very long time. So Krishna is saying these things in order to prepare us for something better. That's why, there's a reason behind it. Krishna is saying that this is your first enemy in becoming a good disciple. In becoming a good disciple. Because if you look into that verse, next verse, Amani Amalsaro Daksho Nirmamo Dradasauhradaha Asatvaro Artajityasu Anasuyu Amokhava. A first class disciple's quality Krishna is talking about. Amani amalsaro daksho nirmamo dradasauhradaha asatvaro artajityasu anasuyu amokhava. So many things, isn't it? In that, the first thing that begins with is amani. You see that word, amani. And amani means that how one can free oneself from the false ego. One who is freed from false ego. So, in order that, to advance on the spiritual path, if this qualification is not there, amani, it is not possible to go further. It's the most difficult thing to get over, amani. Amani, amalsaro, daksha, nirmamo, dradasauhrida, asatvaro, artajityasu, anasoyu, amokhava. So, first preference Krishna gives to amani. All the great personalities, if you look, you will see this amani in them. Amani means one who does not carry himself as a great person. He doesn't think about himself like that. So many examples we can look at it. And you will see that they have all acted with this understanding. That is why Krishna has recognized them. Krishna has recognized them because of this. I'll give you so many examples. Let's start with Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada went to America, and in the early days, ISKCON didn't exist in the way it is today, or it didn't grow like this. Alone, single-handedly, he had to cook food for many people whom he didn't know even. They were coming listening about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. They were not Amanis, they were great Manis, all of them who had come. Their pride, like our pride now, it was not much different. We think of ourselves very important, isn't it? So, they were also thinking like that. But this Amanitvam in Prabhupada changed them. Only because he was Amani, he could do that. Otherwise, it's not possible. That he could serve them and cook food for them, even clean up the place for them sometimes. If you read all these things in the biography, you will find there that Amani, that is Amanitvam. Amanitvam is like that. Never considers I am important. I am not important. In Krishna service, I am not important. Anything I have to do, I will do to please Krishna. Let them become Krishna conscious. This thought can only come unless one is an Amani, it cannot happen. Amani in Vishnu Sahasranamam, there is reference to that. Amani manado manyaha. That Krishna's one nature is like, Krishna is also like that. Amanito, in Krishna also. Krishna will do anything for the devotee. But the moment there is some manam, pride in there, Krishna gone. That's how Krishna is also like Krishna's devotees. Proper devotees of Krishna, and Krishna is not much different. Proper devotees of Krishna are Amanis. They will do everything, somehow or the other people will become Krishna conscious. That's all they want. Nothing else. Because they have no pride within themselves. They are willing to make that. Unless the pride has completely gone from inside, you can't do it. You can't do it. Because so long as there is a slight pride inside, we will not be able to do that. To serve people in that way. That service mood, to serve anyone with such a such humility. And not considering one's own personal interest. Completely surrendered to Krishna service and to serve someone else. So Amanitvam is the first quality for a disciple. Only a disciple who has got that quality can become a guru also. That also is there. That this applies to both, guru and the disciple. The disciple who has that quality, only he should become a guru. Guru is not a high position that's been offered to you, like a chief executive of a multinational corporation. It's not that. Guru is not that position. That's where we are going wrong in everything. We are looking at them in that way and seeing that how much wealth has he got, how many million dollars in his bank, how many thousands of followers has he got, how many hospitals has he opened, how many schools has he opened, how many television channels he is appearing. In this way we are looking at and making a judgment on the guru. If you do this way, in Krishna's calculations, all this has no meaning. It's not spiritual. Because we are not educated in the spiritual way of life, and because we do not know how to judge a person in the light of the Shastram, we make this kind of judgment. In the modern world, that's why one has to be extremely careful. When Upanishad is saying, sada jagrada jagrada, always very, very, very conscious about it, about this issue. That unless one knows what is expected from a guru, what Krishna is saying here, in these two verses, what we have spoken, the one verse before that, yamana bhishnam seveta nayaman malpare kojil madabityam gurum shandam upasidam adalitmakam. In the first word he said, madabityam, self-realized soul, only that person, nobody else, madabityam. That is absolutely a mandatory requirement for a person who has holding that, who is doing the service of a guru, spiritual master. Madhabityam. Without that, it cannot be done. But because people do not read Srimad Bhagavatam, and they make, based upon their mind, they make decisions, normally what happens is that they make the decisions on some other issues, isn't it? They look at the world as they see it, and then they start thinking that, oh, such and such a person, oh, he should be alright, because he has got 10,000 disciples, so he should be a guru. That's their conclusion straight away. Because if he has got 10,000, he must be really good, otherwise he can't be. It's a number of guru people. People make decisions like this. I know people make that decision, and they talk about it in that way also. And they feel very proud about that. That 10,000 years God or 15,000 years God, whatever it is. So where is this coming from? Because not, lack of knowledge. Krishna is not saying how many disciples he should have to become a guru. He's asking only one thing, madhabhijñam. He should be self-realized. That's the first requirement. All the other things, number of followers, or how much money has he got in the bank, how many thousands of acres of land he has got in his ashram, or how many channels in television he's appearing, or how many hospitals he has opened, or how many schools, all of them have no value as far as spirituality is concerned. These are so many people doing in this world. If you come to Krishna consciousness, and to understand, and to follow Krishna, then we have to take Krishna's word seriously. Madhabhijñam gurum shandam upasita madhatmakam. That is the qualification of a guru. Guru's qualification is that madhabhijñam gurum shandam upasita madhatmakam. Whatever Krishna has to say, he said in that four words. Madhabhijñam. Madhabhijñam means he has to be self-realized. If he is not self-realized, then he is not qualified to be there. So, it causes a lot of problems otherwise. So Krishna is saying here that Amani is the first thing. Actually, we all think in this world it's better to be in the front doing everything, isn't it? I should be the first to do it. I should be the first one. No, not in the spiritual life. It's not like that. Spiritual life, everything at the back. Staying as much as at the back. Like in the school, if you sit in the front bench, it is dangerous, isn't it? Because when the teacher finds some problem, he will hold your ears first. He'll hold your ears first. Whereas if you are sitting in the back bench, you are covered, you are protected. By the time teacher comes to you, you can defend. So, similarly, in spiritual life also, Krishna is like that. Krishna says that somebody who is acting in that way in spiritual life, everything in the frame, everything, I should be the one who is doing it. I should be the one. No, spiritual life is like that. If you want to do it, please go ahead. Be in the front. I like to be at the back. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is not to be in the front. Spiritual life is always to be at the back. It's always to sit at the back. It's safer. So, madhabhijñam gurum shandam upasita madhatmakam. Then Krishna is saying here that we have in our spiritual activities, we have to take into account this thing, and that will make you Amani. Amani means this. Amani means not pushing yourself in the frame. Everything leave it to the world. Let the world carry on its own. Your spiritual life is a matter between yourself and Krishna. There's nothing else come in between. And that you have to carry on irrespective of what goes on in this world. So that is the point Krishna is making there. Amani amal saro daksha nirmamo drada sauhridaha. So, amanitum. Amanitum is it's a thing. We can give you so many examples. One talked about Prabhupada. Now, let's go in so many other people's life also. How all the great spiritual personalities, they were like that. They were like that. I don't know whether you have heard, there was a great soul in Calcutta by name Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar. He was a very famous personality. He used to lecture, a very highly learned philosopher, very intelligent, and people used to come from villages to listen to him. Very different villages. So once it so happened in Howrah station, the train came, arrived and stood there. So a very well-dressed gentleman came out of the train in suit and he had his baggage with him. And he, at that time, this was years ago, probably 70, 80 years ago, this incident happened. So when he got out of the train, he was looking for a porter to carry his luggage. So he looked everywhere, there was no porter. So one person was standing there, he went up to him, a simple dressed and very looking, an ordinary person. He went up to him and he said to him, "Can I find any porter here to take my luggage?" So he said, "I can't find any porter, but I can take your luggage, it's no problem," he said. Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar is saying this, "I can take your luggage," he said. He took the luggage, "How far do you have to go?" He said, "There is a hotel nearby, I'm going to stay there." Said, fine, he went with him, took the luggage all the way for him there to the hotel and left the luggage there. And after that, he wanted to pay him some money.
the charges. So he said, no, I've just done it as a help. That's all right, I don't need anything for that. Saying like this, he left him and came back. That evening, when he went to listen to the lecture, this person who has taken his luggage was speaking. He was Ishwarachandra Vidyasagar there. So you can imagine, that is Amanitam. At no time, he himself thought as very important. Any little service he can do for others, he will do it. Himself, no. Doesn't want any recognition from anyone in this world. That is the mood of that devotee. He doesn't want any recognition from anyone. Recognition has to come from Krishna, not from this world. This world recognition has no meaning really. World today will recognize you, tomorrow will kick you out from here. That is the recognition from this world. Real recognition is when it comes from Krishna. So, he, in another instance in his own life, if you read, you will find that he was such a personality that he had no any kind of honor he was not expecting from this world. Once he was having a meeting with so many other people, and in the next room, his son was lying dead in the next room. The dead body was not taken away for burial yet. So at that time, somebody during the meeting wanted to go and get some file from the next room. So when he was going, Ishwarachandra Vidyasagar tells him that, be careful, my son is lying there, his dead body is there. After the meeting is over, I want to take it away and get it buried, get it cremated. So don't get panic. If you see the body there, take your file and come back, he said. Why? How come he was like that? He was like that. That he had no... He was not disturbed by anything in this world. That upasidam anatmakam, that balanced mind inside. So detached from this world, but still acting in this world, unaffected by anything. That is spirituality. That's spiritual life. So upasidam anatmakam. Then Krishna is saying here that so amani manado manyam logaswami trilokatray. Then the reason why Krishna is saying like this is, all these qualities why Krishna has explained there is, reason for that is, amani amalsaro daksha nurmamo dridasauhradaha asatvaro artajityasu anasuyu amoghava. We'll come to each one of them separately. He says, if you have these qualities, if you develop in life, in our life, if you develop these qualities, you will have peace inside. You will have some peace inside. And once you have the peace inside, that is easier to culture spiritual life. It's easier to culture spiritual life. So that's why, wherever you go, you will see sometimes individuals in this consciousness, some great sannyasis in that consciousness, never thinks about themselves, always in the mood of that service to others. Why? Amani. Highly learned and highly advanced and highly realized souls act in that way. That is their quality. Only inside who have made that development can do that. Others cannot do it. It's coming from that, the inside. There were many, many learned people like that who have acted in that way. There were people who will cook prasadam for so many people. They will serve everybody. Only after everyone has eaten, they will take their prasadam. That was the nature of those great souls. Nowadays it's changed. It's different. Nowadays first they have to be fed, because they are holding that position there. So they have to be honored in that way. Even if anyone is honored that way, they normally tend to refuse. The greatness lies in there, this amanitam. So Krishna is saying here, that is the first quality in spiritual life, amanitam. Free from pride. Or basically, the absence of false ego. Then what is the next one? Amalsaram. First one is this amanitam. Amanitam, amalsaram. Amalsaram means that I am not there to compete with anyone in spiritual life. In spiritual life, you will find the highest competition sometimes. And when you see that, you wonder what they have understood about spiritual life. If you don't compete, and I have to prove to somebody that I am better than him. If not, I am not making it. He has not made it. Because of this clearly shows that their spiritual realization is absolutely poor. It's very, very, very poor. This is why it is. This competition is in the material world. Competition is in the material world. Material world, yes, if you do it in your business or in your job or office, whatever you have to do, you can do that. But if you do that in spiritual life, you are finished. Your spiritual life is over with that. Krishna doesn't want to see such a person. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, when begins Srimad Bhagavatam, first thing, one mandatory or compulsory requirement, Vedavyasa Maharshi puts there. What is that? Dharma projida kaidavotra paramo nirmalsaranam sadam. Nirmalsaranam. Never in competition with anyone. I'm not here to compete with anybody. If you want to go in the front, please go ahead. Do what you want to do. But don't compete with me. I'm not in here to compete with anyone. Nirmalsaranam sadam. So matsaryam or this competition business is the most dangerous thing. Krishna doesn't want this competition in the spiritual world. He doesn't want to come there, want us to come there and start competing there also and create trouble there like we do here. So knowing very well us, what our nature is, Krishna has put that as the second requirement after amanitam. Amal saro daksho nirmano dradasau hridam. That Krishna is saying here that if you amani manado manyaha, if you develop this competition nature here, malsaram, matsarya buddhi, it is called matsarya buddhi, this competing with others. If somebody is doing something, oh, I have to do better than him, I can do it better than him. This is the whole principle behind it. So when such a thing happens, you will never have any peace inside. And as Krishna said before, ashandasya kutasukham. If there is no peace inside, what peace, happiness can you have in life? Even in this life, what to talk about the next life. So shandi or peace, if that is what one is looking for, then Krishna says that amani amalsaram, free from this matsaryam, free from this competition. Unfortunately, because we don't study Srimad Bhagavatam and we don't see this requirement as important, when we come to spiritual life also, we think that I have to prove some point to Krishna, that I can do better than many others, and Krishna will reward me because I have done this for Krishna. It's not a business deal with Krishna. Krishna wants nothing from us. We have to do this to purify ourselves and not by increasing our malsarya buddhi. That's not what Krishna wants. So you will see this problem often coming in spiritual life also. So he is giving us a warning in Ekadasham that malsaryam, malsarya buddhi is dangerous. Malsarya buddhi is dangerous. If you look at great personalities also, you will see. When the milk ocean was churned, isn't it? Milk ocean was churned. What came out first? Poison, isn't it? Poison. When poison came out, there was no competition to drink that. Nobody was competing. Lord Shiva went there, took it in the hand, and with Sri Parvati's permission, swallowed the whole poison inside. Because there was no competition. And after that, he went away. Shiva went away. Lord Shiva went away. And then so many other things came. Uchaishravas came, Airavadam came, Apsaras women came, Kaustubam came, Maharishmi came. None of these, when they came, all the demigods were fighting each other for all of them. And the asuras, demons also. Shiva says, I have nothing to do with that. You can have all of that, he said. Shiva was not there. Shiva could have asked for any of these things, isn't it? Shiva didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for Uchaishravas. He didn't ask for Airavadam. He didn't ask for Kaustubam. He didn't ask for Apsaras women. He didn't ask for Mahalakshmi. He sat separately alone. I am satisfied within myself. That is Lord Shiva's position. Spiritually elevated. That's spiritual elevation. Spiritual life, you don't have to compete with anyone. Whom are you competing with? Krishna is... You can't compete with Krishna. Can eventually the same mentality like Banasura will develop inside. You want to beat up with Shiva also. Banasura had this desire, isn't it? If you remember the story of Banasura in the 10th canto, Banasura fought with everyone, smashed everyone down. At the end he says to Lord Shiva's devotee, he says to Lord Shiva that I can't find anyone whom I can fight with. You know, the only person, you are the one whom I can fight with. Why don't you come? He says. Lord Shiva is a first class devotee I've got, he said. He says then, well, I'll do one thing. I'll come and stand at your doorstep as your god. But one day you will find someone whom you can fight with, he says. The day your flag post breaks down, that day that person will visit you. And that is when the whole episode happened with Aniruddha's marriage and all that. We talked about in the 10th canto. Krishna came and fought with Banasura and virtually cut off all his hands and everything. And his ego was taken away. So, spiritual understanding is this, that you don't compete with anyone. Competition is not a good thing in spiritual life. That is completely material vanity coming, walking in there. So once that happens, Krishna is saying here, he cannot be a disciple. He cannot be a good disciple. Amani amalsaro. Amalsaro. Amalsaro means this freedom from this, freedom from this. From freedom from this nature of competing with others. So Krishna is saying here that the realized soul, Lord Shiva's nature, if you look at it, you will see it there. When all the demigods and the demons, they were wearing externally good clothes and presenting themselves in a very, very fashionable way, Lord Shiva is saying, I am satisfied with this skin of the elephant which he was wearing. That is Shiva's dress, isn't it? Elephant skin. He was wearing elephant skin. So many jewels and so many gold and so many ornaments came up from there. And demigods were saying, oh, this will suit for our upstairs women in the heavenly planets. They wanted to take it there. The demons wanted them as well to wear. All of them were so attracted because of their high value and their quality. So they were so good. So they were all arguing for that. Shiva says to them, you can have all that. I am satisfied with Vasuki, the snake on my neck. That's my best ornament for me. Vasuki, in the neck. And then, what else? Krishna was saying, sorry. Then, and everyone else was beautifying their body with the best perfumes and all kinds of sandalwood pulp and other things. Shiva says, I don't need any of these things. I am satisfied with ashes from the cemetery. That's what I will decorate my body with. But I've got one thing with me, that is my seriousness in my absorption in the soul, in Brahma. That complete absorption in there. That is Shiva's position. That no attraction for any of these things. And spiritual life, and therefore, Shiva stands higher than anybody, any other demigods. He's called Mahadeva for this reason. That his attitude that he had peace all the time, never disturbed by anything. Then, Amani, Amalsaro, then the next one, Daksha. Daksha means expert, isn't it? General meaning is expert. But definition given here is, for Daksha, is whatever, actually Daksha means expert in executing something, isn't it? Executing some work. Kushalaktam, it's called Kaushalam or Kushalata. So, this Daksha means actually, whatever work comes on your way in life, whatever work comes on your way in your life, able to execute it, execute that work without being affected by it. Without being affected by it. In other words, without creating any karma vasana from that, executing a work. That is Daksha. How do you do that? How do you execute a work without creating any karma vasana inside? By either by giving up the results to Krishna, or able to execute a work that Krishna is executing this work through me. I have nothing to do with it. In that full consciousness, if one is able to execute a work, then that is, honestly, if he has to do that, then that also will that free himself from that vasana, karma vasana. That means, I am not the doer, and nor I am expecting the results from this. If the results come in the positive or negative way, simply able to keep equal mind towards that, which is a very difficult thing. But that expertise in doing that is called Daksha. Daksha means that. Not that, oh, I did a job and the results came out very well, and I'm responsible, you know what I can do? What I've done, that is not Daksha. Daksha means this. Daksha means you are able to execute some work in such a way that the results won't bind you. That you can carry on doing so many work in this world without being affected by the result of that. That is Daksha. So,
Amani Amalsaro Daksha, then then you are not conscious that you are the doer, nor you have the thought in yourself that you are expecting any credit from the work. Then the next one, Nirmama. Nirmama means that you have no possessiveness in anything in this world. Nirmama. Amani, Amalsaro, Daksha, Nirmama. Nirmama means you have no possessiveness in this world. That so one who has developed these qualities, Amani, Amalsaro, Daksha, then the next one, Drida Sauhrida. Drida Sauhrida means one who has proper relationship with the spiritual master. What is a relationship with the spiritual master? That a person who has surrendered to the spiritual master in such a way, he is willing to execute whatever he has been told to do. Whatever he has been told to do. Nirmamo Drida Sauhrida. Drida Sauhrida means that he is very open in his heart. He is not judging. When instruction is given, he will accept it wholeheartedly. He will not judge at that point whether it is good for me or bad for me. He is not thinking in that way. He is thinking, this is what my spiritual master wants me to do, I'll do that. This surrender, this is called Drida Sauhrida. This is the Sharanagari or surrender to spiritual master. Then, then, when one has a devotion, and also to execute that service without expecting anything in return. These are that thing. This is all Drida Sauhrida. Amani, Amalsaro, Daksha, Nirmama, Drida Sauhrida. So Drida Sauhrida means this. Drida Sauhrida means without expecting... Drida Sauhrida means without expecting anything, able to serve the spiritual master without expecting anything in return, wholeheartedly, totally to please the spiritual master. That is Drida Sauhrida. Then Asatvaro. Asatvara means as soon as you are told something, immediately you start jumping up and start doing something. That is not Asatvara. Asatvara means everything told in a very cool and calculated way, executing the service in a cool and calculated way. Therefore, asatvaram. Also, whenever anything happens in spiritual life, not getting disturbed over it. Not getting disturbed over it. For example, when you come to spiritual life, normally there will be so many, your material life is still going on in this world, isn't it? So, in the process of executing spiritual life, so many problems will come from the material life side. So when they come, you don't become disturbed over it. You don't become disturbed over it. You just have to learn how to keep that separate and execute your spiritual side of life. Because these two things are different. Asatvara. Asatvara means, and that not being feeling a crisis, most of us, what happens? As soon as a spiritual material problem comes, our spiritual life goes through the window. Then, when the material life is all become a little peaceful, we start inquiring, oh, I forgot my chanting the rounds, I'll start now again. So, this way it goes on, but that's not Asatvara. Asatvara means one who has developed this nature, that he has no desire, he has, in his own head, he is very clear that spiritual life is his goal. And in that process, any impediments or problems that helps, he comes out in material life, should not allow to disturb your spiritual side of life. And also not to act in a rash way, always to act in a cool and composed way. Asatvaro. Artha jinyasu means one who has the desire to realize the truth. One who has the desire to realize the truth. Artha jinyasu. Artha jinyasu is a very important thing, because while reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if you are not artha jinyasu, you won't capture the message properly. You won't capture the message properly. That's why in all the shastram you will find this word jinyasa is used quite often, isn't it? Atado brahma jinyasa, jivasya tato jinyasa. Everywhere this word jinyasa will come.
Jignasa means this, that by a genuine and a serious inquiring nature, not just doing what you have been told to do. That's not good. Somebody tells you to do, oh, do this. I kept doing that everything throughout my life without thinking about it, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. That's not, that's, jignasa is that quality in a person, whenever he's doing thinking, whenever he's doing something, understanding it, why I'm doing this. And that jignasa should go in, artha jignasa. Artha jignasa means that he understands the essence of the message properly, and then does it. Then it is beneficial to that person. Otherwise, you may do so many things, but if you do not understand what you are doing, then it doesn't help. So therefore, Krishna is saying, in spiritual life, it's not a fast track thing, that you have to be rushing to get somewhere. Oh, making a plan, I have to finish it in, I've only got about 20 years time life. So in 20 years I have to complete this course. It's not a course that you are running after. It is your real life. Spiritual life is a real life. We are meant to live spiritually, not in material life. So when we come to spiritual life, we have to take it that it's an eternal service to Krishna. It doesn't stop any time, even in this body, in the next body, if there is a body after that, even then. Or if we are released from this bondage, even then, it's spiritual life that goes on. So there is no stoppage to it after this. Once you have come out of liberated state, this is what happened. This is why if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there, after the Canto 11 was given the title Mukti, Canto 12 was given the title Ashrayam. Why? Why it was given the title Ashrayam? Nirodho Muktira Ashraya. That is how it's... Nirodham is 10th canto, Mukti is 11th canto, Ashrayam is the 12th canto. Why it is given the title Ashrayam? Because of this reason. That after you have reached that stage of Mukti, is there anything else to do? Yes, there is something to do. What is that? Continuing the spiritual life in Krishna shelter. That is Ashrayam. Taking Krishna shelter and executing spiritual life, that is Ashrayam. That's why 12th canto is given the title Ashrayam. After Mukti. Mukti is the 11th canto. But canto 12 has been given the title as Ashrayam because that is the real life. In spiritual life we are executing our proper life at that stage. Up to that time our life is not proper. It is completely based on the body, completely in false ego, completely identifying with the bodily and bodily extensions and full of all kinds of anarthas inside. So, this is not proper life. Proper life is that life which is in ashrayam, in Krishna shelter, in other words. Living in Krishna shelter, that is ashrayam. So, after mukti, that is the life. So, spiritual life goes on forever after that. No more changing the body after that. No more coming back to the material life again. So, liberated soul has only one life, that is ashrayam, Krishna shelter, nothing else. So, that is what he is talking about here, that the the sages who knew all these things, they have told us that the these qualities, anasuya, amoghava, so, amani, amalsaro, dakshaha, nirmamaha, drida sauhridaha, asatvaraha, artha jijnyasu. We have seen now. Then what else? Two more. Krishna talk about anasuyu. Anasuyu and amokhavak. Anasuyu means one who has no envy towards anyone. One who has no envy towards anyone. Because Krishna is saying here that artha jijnyasu, he will take the truth from wherever he finds it. He has no difficulty. Because he is seeking the truth, isn't it? So if the truth, where it comes from, it's not important for him. Why? Because he is artha jnyasu. He is jnyasu for the truth. So he will inquire for the truth and he will find it. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It can come from anyone. That's why in the 24 spiritual masters we have seen this quality in them, isn't it? This quality you have seen in the Avadhuta Brahmana. whether it's come from a child, whether it's come from a snake, whether it's come from a python, whether it's come from the sun or the moon, or whether it's come from the girl who was going to get married. Everywhere he is finding something. That is Artha Jijnyasa. Able to accept spiritual knowledge from anywhere. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So the knowledge is more important. So that is Artha Jijnyasa. Anasuya means one who has no envy towards anyone. Anasuya. Anasuya is important in the sense that Asuya comes from material concept of life, isn't it? From material consciousness develops Asuya, that somebody is doing better than me, I am doing better than him. All these calculations inside, it goes. As long as these calculations exist inside, he cannot be a disciple. That is the main thing. Asuya is such a thing that as long as it is inside, it does not allow a person to make any progress on a spiritual path. So Krishna says here, Amani amalsaryo dakshaha nirmamo dridasauhradaha asatvaryo artha jinyasu anasuyo. Then the last one, which is very very important, amokhavak. Amokhavak. And this is the most difficult thing in this world today. Amokhavak means, if you say something, you're doing it properly. Not that you said something and do what you like later. That is not amokhavak. Because amokhavak is important. A disciple goes to a spiritual master. So he was serving the spiritual master, and spiritual master says to the disciple, so when will you come? He said, he says to him that, I'll come in the evening. I'll come and see you in the evening. He did his service in the morning and went home. In the evening, he decided that, oh, I can't go today, I'll go tomorrow morning. And if spiritual master asks something, I'll say, I couldn't make it, as usual we say, isn't it? I couldn't make it. So, he goes the next morning, and the spiritual master says to him, my dear disciple, why didn't you not come yesterday? You said you'll come yesterday. He had something else in his mind to talk to. So the disciple says to him, I just couldn't make it because it was raining or some reason, whatever he has for. Although when he left, he said that he will turn up in the evening. He didn't turn up. He comes next day at his own convenience. So that's not amokhavak. That means whatever you have spoken, your words have no value then. Isn't it? Your words have no value. So that is not allowed for a disciple. That's not allowed for a disciple. If you are a disciple, Krishna is saying, this is the most important quality. If one wants to develop, if you say something, hold on to the word. Otherwise, don't say it. That's what Krishna is expecting from a proper disciple. That amokhavak, that means he will not waste his words. You are wasting the words otherwise, isn't it? Said something, and if you not value the words, what you have spoken, then it is not amokhavak. The example given is, say you have got one bottle of water, and you are traveling in a desert. In a desert you are traveling. So you are conscious that you have only got one bottle of water. So you won't waste the water, will you? You will just drink a sip here and there, just to keep you alive till you get to the other side of the desert. Similarly, whatever words we use in this world, Krishna is saying, a devotee or a disciple who is traveling, who is trying to advance on the spiritual life, has to be very careful with the words. He should not make all sorts of commitments and not do anything about it. That's not a good quality for a disciple. So, amani amalsaro dakshaha nirmamo dridasauhradaha asatvaro artha jitnyasu anasoyor amokhavak. So many qualities for the disciple. And the verse before that, what was that? What did Krishna say there? Mat yamana bhishnam sevete seveta niyaman malpare kochil madabityam gurum shantam upasida madalmakam. Upasidam madalmakam. There Krishna said the qualities of a guru. And in the next verse, Krishna said the qualities of a disciple. First verse, Krishna said the qualities of... This is all what Krishna wants from us. Nothing else. This is the beauty of Ekadasham. Ekadasham Skandam will tell you what is actually expected of you in spiritual life. If you accept all these things, what Krishna has spoken, you can be a disciple or a guru in that
in that way, if they, these qualities are there. For Guru, four things Krishna explained. Madhavityam Gurum Shantam Upasita Madhatmakam. That's all. Because Krishna knows, if you are self-realized, you have got the quality to be a Guru. Not by any other means. As I mentioned, Jada, Jagrata, Jagrata, in this world, one has to be extremely careful, because this religion is one field where there is a maximum corruption also in this world. Maximum corruption goes in the religious field. Because religion has been there ever since human society existed. Isn't it? So corruption has been existing from then onwards. Even till now, it exists. And in this world, particularly in the modern world, where there is a high opportunity for propaganda and also for media and publicity, this can develop into a much bigger industry. Much bigger industry. And if it goes in that direction, then the spirit is lost. Immediately it is lost. If we get, because people, especially the current generation, as they are modern generation, with the way there is no spiritual training and proper understanding of the Shastram, it's very easy to get diverted and go in the wrong direction. It's very, very easy to get diverted and go in the wrong direction. And after living a life like that for many years, when you will realize that actually you are not in spiritual life, you are living some other life, in somebody else's world, you are living a life for them, not for your own spiritual life. Therefore, Krishna has given us, the sages have told us that this is the requirement for spiritual life. Madhavishnam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Madhatmakam. That is for the Guru. For the disciple, Amani, Amalsaro, Dakshaha, Nirmama, Dradasauhrada, Asatvaro, Artajityasu, Anasuya, Amukhavak. That's all. And if these two things are there, then if you'll see what else has to be there for us, that person, he should live a life in this way. How? Jayabhatya Grihakshetra Sujanam Dravanadishu Udasina Samam Pashyan. That is the next verse, what you will see there. Jayavatya Grihakshetram Svajana Dravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashyan Sarveshwartham Ival Manaha. When we discussed those qualities, which are they? Which are they? The qualities of a disciple. Amani, Amalsaro, Daksha. Then the fourth one was Nirmama, isn't it? Nirmama means no mamatvam, no attachment anywhere. How to develop that nirmamatvam, that is what is spoken in that verse. That's what is spoken in that verse. How do I become non-attached to everything? Nirmamatvam. How to act without attachment? There he says, Jayavatya Griha Kshetra Svajanandravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashyan. Always udasina towards everyone, in the family members, in the society, everyone. To everybody, udasinatvam. Samam Pashyan, seeing things, everything on an equal level. Why? Sarveshwartham Ivalmanaha. Everyone, there is only one thing which is the substance, that is the soul. There is nothing else in anyone. There is nothing else. The material body made of my material elements and that particular form will disappear from this world. So a person who is seeking the truth should not go after the falsities of the body. That's what Krishna is saying there. The body, as you see that form, the bodily interactions, bodily attachment are all based on a false platform. They are not truthful. So therefore Krishna is saying here, Sarveshu Artham Yu Almanaha. Only if you see the soul in another person and develop this detachment from them, Udasinatvam from them, Jaya Bhatya Griha Kshetra Svajanam Dravinadishu. Jaya, wife, Patyam, children, Graham house, Svajanam, one's own people, Dravinam, and all the properties, and Svajanadishu, Adishu. And he says there, Udasinam, Udasinam, equally keeping a distance from everything. It does not mean that you have to throw everything away and run from home. That's not what it is saying. Try to understand, when Krishna is saying something, it should also be properly accepted. Otherwise, what will happen is that we will do things in the wrong way. But first we have to change inside before we change outside. If we continuously adjust outside, it's not going to change, solve the problem. Adjustment is necessary actually inside. It's not outside. So, Jayavati Vihakshetra Sojana Dravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashin Sarveshortham Ivalmanaha Sarveshortham Ivalmanaha. So, Krishna has brought us up to some point now. What has he said to us so far? So far, I'll just summarize what we have discussed in this chapter up to this point. In the first verse, Krishna said that execute varnashrama dharma or whatever dharma you are involved in, act with detachment and offer the results to Krishna, that will purify your karma, purification of karma, which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in the 3rd, 4th, 5th chapters and the 2nd chapter. There Krishna said that the yajnyadhya karmanyatra lovoyam karmabandhana. Karmabandhanam is the main. The bondage through karma is very, very strong. Unless you free yourself from karma, you can't go further from there. So therefore, the importance of karma, how to execute karma as a karma yogam and free oneself from the impurity of karma was discussed. That very point Krishna has brought in here, in the Bhagavadam also, what was spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Starting from karma, in the form of karma yoga. Once you execute karma yoga and purify yourself, you are qualified for anucheda vishuddhalpa. Then you are pure enough to see something much more important than that. What is that? Vishuddhalpa dehinam vishayalpanam. You will see that there is distress in this world. There is distress in this world. It comes from purity of karma. Purity of karma means purity of consciousness. Purity of consciousness means you will be able to recognize the distress of this world. And what will happen? Anushara vishuddhatma dehinam vishayalpanam. Then immediately you will realize sarvaramba parityagam, that there is no point in me trying to engage in very heavy endeavor or serious pursuit of living a good material life in this world. That desire will go away from inside. That desire will... Why? Because you are observing things and you are seeing that people who have worked very hard for becoming happy in this world, after they have acquired the wealth or whatever they were working for, they don't seem to be happy still. They are not able to become happy. This realization will only come, as Krishna said there, anuchara vishuddhatma, only when one is pure inside. Only at that time he will be able to give up that heavy pursuit after material happiness. Material happiness, endeavor for material happiness will stop at that point. So that is the next thing what Krishna discussed in the second verse. Anicheda vishuddhalma dehinam vishayalpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha vipayayam. Isn't it? Guneshu tattvadhyanena. Because he becomes thoughtful at that stage. He can think properly. See, in order to think properly, we need a proper consciousness, peace inside, isn't it? And some purity inside. In other words, a degree of goodness inside. Otherwise, you can't even think properly. So that's why, guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha vipayayam. He will not make a lot of endeavor for anything. He will be satisfied with what is given to him by providence, by Krishna's arrangement. Whatever has come, he will accept it and be satisfied with that. Having said that, in that second verse, Krishna says to Uddhava, that actually when you become a little bit more philosophical in thinking, this is philosophy, isn't it? So philosophically, if you are developing, then you can see the next thing what Krishna has spoken. What was that? The third thing what he spoke about. Suptasya vishayan loko dhyayatova manoradhaha. Isn't it? So, having come to this platform of seeing the misery and distress in this world, and by now a certain degree of discrimination has developed within, he will be able to see, suptasya vishayan lokaha, Krishna is saying that this sense objects and the world of sense gratification is also another dream that is going through. Just like in the dream state, when you experience sense gratification, it is when you come out of that dream to the waking state, you realize it that it was just a dream, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is saying, dhyayadova manoradhaha, Manoratham or mental chariot, you are in the daytime also. Although you are thinking that you are in the vacant state, you are not in the vacant state. This is the point. Dhyadova manoratha, while nanatmagatvat vibhala. Why? Because during the daytime also, all our activities are centered around sense gratification. Isn't it? You are not able to control our senses, unable to withdraw yourself towards the soul, rather still going to the external world and busy with the external world is an indication that nanatmagatvam is very strongly in us. Nanatmagatvam has not gone. So Krishna is saying, after one has purified oneself through karma yogam and the chitta shuddhi or purity has happened inside, he should go to the next step of developing this understanding inside. Because when he's pure, he can understand and he'll be able to follow it. Suptasya vishayana loka dhyayidova manoradaha nanatmagatva vipala tatha bhedalpani gunehi. Only three modes of nature is working in this world. I have nothing to do with this. That because everything, there is only one thing behind it, that is the soul. And I am searching for the soul, not for the modes of nature. So having come to that point, Krishna is saying there, when this realization is coming through, Nivartam karma seveda pravartam alparatejel. At that point the question will come, how should I live in this world? Isn't it? How I should live my life in this world? So, because at that time, our activities naturally will change. When spiritual life becomes your priority in life, your activities will automatically change. It is bound to happen. Serious people who are seriously in spiritual life, naturally they will withdraw from the world. They will become more and more serious about spiritual life. That's what we are going to discuss now in the next few verses. So, what will happen at that point is, Krishna is saying, Nivrtam karma seveta. Whatever nivrta karmam, whatever karmam you have to execute for nivrti, or to free yourself from the cycle of birth and death or the bondage, you should do. Nivrtam pravrtam alparatya jail. Give up all the previous other karmam, what the society is imposing upon you. Or what you are doing for the sake of pravrti. Pravrti means for the welfare in this world. Pravrta karma. They are called the pravrta karma. Like so many sacrifices you do, isn't it? What for? That's pravrta karma. Pravrta karma, that includes so many things in pravrta karma. From the Vedic point of view, pravrta karma means different kinds of sacrifices. Agnishtamam, Vajaveyam, Adhiratram, Shodashi, Uttyam, so many things. All those kinds of things. They are all pravrta karma. Or even doing things for the society or for the family, working, maintaining them, all sorts of things like that. And acquiring, developing happiness in family life or for the social life, all these are pravrta karma. Krishna is saying they are not helpful for a serious person. Now you have to realize, Krishna is talking to Uddhava here, and it is at the very end of Krishna's time in this world, isn't it? Before he departed towards the spiritual world. So whatever Krishna is speaking now, he is speaking from a much higher platform. From a much higher platform. And those who are serious about spiritual life, they have to take it as it is. Otherwise it's very difficult. Naturally, when you read Krishna's instructions, Uddhava in Ekadasham, it's all spoken from a much higher platform that you can see here. So, nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam alparatyajel. Then, what did he say after that? He said, jinyasayam sampravrto nadriyel karma chodanam. Jinyasayel sampravrto nadriyel karma chodanam. That you should execute such work, but at the same time, you should not start anything nadriyel karma chodanam. Even if you get a strong push from inside or strong provocation from inside to start new projects in this world or to execute new endeavor or new ideas, it may come from inside. Suddenly somebody gives you an idea how to make a lot of money and you start immediately thinking, leave the spiritual life for a moment, let me go and do that first because it looks very attractive to me. Especially people's mind is like that. When it will turn, you can never say. But such people cannot stay in spiritual life. That's not possible. That's why Krishna is saying here that at that point, jignasayam sampravrto nadriyel karma chodanam. Even if you are getting very strong push from inside through the power of knowledge, you have to stop it.
We have to stop it. Nadriyat karma chodanam. Karma chodanam should not happen. So, if all these things have happened to a person, this is all lessons in spiritual life. Krishna's instructions to us in spiritual life. Krishna says, after this, he should approach a spiritual master. He should approach a spiritual master. And while approaching a spiritual master, first he talked about the spiritual master. Who is the spiritual master? Isn't it? And that's what in the next verse you find. Yamana Bhishnam Sevedam Nevan Malparakojil Madhavityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Adalmagam Yamana Bhishnam Sevedam Nevan Malparakojil. We talked about this, remember? Yamam and Niyamam, two things. If these two things is the first requirement for a guru, Yamana Bhishnam Sevet Neyaman Malparakochin. So, Yamam and Neyamam we discussed. It is there in the 19th chapter in the Canto 11. Krishna's definition of Yamam and Neyamam. That you can read it there. So, once you have this Yamam and Neyamam is meant for everyone. One who is a sadhaka, one who is seeking after the truth, he should have Yamam and Neyamam in life. Yamam and Neyamam. That we have discussed already. So, once you have Yamam and Niyamam, then that person also should have. The spiritual master must have Yamam and Niyamam. Disciple also have to have Yamam and Niyamam. It is compulsory requirement for anyone in spiritual life. But added to that, added to Yamam and Niyamam, Krishna is saying, Madhavityam. This is one quality which is the most important quality for a guru. If this is not there, you can take it that relationship is not going to produce much results. It's not going to produce much results. We can't do anything about it. It is Krishna's specification. Krishna has written the, what do you call it, the job spec. Krishna has written the job spec. Nobody has ever changed this. All the great acharyas and authorities have simply accepted this statement of Krishna. No one has any authority to change it. It is not even Krishna's definition, so to say. It's coming from the great sages prior to Krishna's appearance in this world. Krishna has just packed it and given it to us. So, this spiritual truth never changes. When we analyze it in that way, you will realize the value of this, these words. They are not just simple words where you can alter and modify and use it according to your taste. There is no, you can't make any compromise on these things. Madhavityam, Krishna says. Madhavityam means self-realized soul. One who has realized Krishna. Simple, very simple. Madhavityam. It is a requirement. Madhavityam gurum shandam upasidam adalmagam. Because he has realized Krishna, you can only see him as good as Krishna. Not different than Krishna. Not different than Krishna. So, Madhavityam Gurum Shandam Upasidam Adalmagam. The four things he mentioned, Adavityam, Shandam. Shandam means, because he is Madhavityam, he is self-realized, he is Shandam, he is peaceful. Nothing will, does Krishna get disturbed? No. Similarly, Guru also shouldn't get disturbed. Because he is Shandam, peacefulness. Upasidam adalmagam. Because of his position is like that, he has become like Krishna. He can only see him like Krishna's present in this world in that form. So, having said that, in the next verse, Krishna said what he is expecting from a disciple. Who should go to such a guru? That's what he is saying. So, prior to going to a guru like that, to such a guru, what he should do? Amani amal saryo daksha. Nirmamo drita saukhrada asatvaro artha jityasu anasoyo amokhavak. This is the important thing. All the qualities what we talked about a disciple. Qualities of the guru, qualities of the disciple. And in that, Krishna used the word nirmama. That after developing this quality, he says, while approaching a guru, he should also be conscious of this one point. Krishna says, jaya bhatya griha kshetra svajana dravanadishu. Sajana Dhranadishu, Udasina Samam Pashyan. This is preparing us for receiving the proper spiritual instruction. You see, only when all these things are there in a person,
If he takes initiation from a spiritual master of that caliber, what is discussed here, the result will be there. Result must be there. Result cannot be without. This is the guarantee from Krishna is saying, these are the specifications. If you follow the specifications, and if you do all these things, I guarantee the result. Krishna guarantees the result. If anything is not happening in our own life, you have to take it that something is missing somewhere. It's not Krishna's fault, it's our fault. So, Jaya Bhatya Griha Kshetram Sojana Dravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashyan Sarveshottam Ivalmanaha. So, after saying all these things, we are now going back that to a general reference to all these things. Before we go now to the next step in this, because it's a much more deeper subject than what we have spoken so far. By now, you may have got a little bit taste of this 10th chapter. You can see this 10th chapter is just not verses. As I mentioned, they have a lot of things to say. And as you hear from many other people also, who have a deeper realization on this, you will appreciate these verses better. Otherwise you won't understand. I have spoken what I have little understood about it. But if you hear from someone who has a much more deeper understanding of these verses from Ekadasha Skandam, you can see that Krishna is going deeper into the subject. So, having said that, we have to go a little bit backwards now. Because in the next few verses, Krishna is going to talk about what happens to a soul who comes into contact with another soul who is a spiritual master of this quality. So, in order to discuss that, there are so many other things we have to know before that. So, as I mentioned before, in these last few verses, Krishna has started with that necessity to execute varnashrama dharmam, and at least to be dharmam. Dharma means first thing in religious life. Dharma means the we cannot do any religious spiritual life without dharmam behind it. Dharmam is a basic requirement. Adharmam and spiritual life don't go together. Adharmam and spiritual life don't go together. That the sages have told us that if you execute karmam nishkamam, nishkamam means without attachment to the results, if you execute karmam, chitta-shuddhi will happen, purity will happen. The sages have told us that. And for that, and also we know that whenever there is dharma-glani means that whenever dharmam disappears from this world, whenever dharmam disappears in this world, Krishna appears here, isn't it? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna says like that. So, adharmam is not conducive for spiritual life. Krishna has told us that before. Therefore, it is important that we have to know about the Vedic scriptures a little bit now. How Vedic scriptures talk to us about dharma, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam was written by Vedavyas after writing all other Vedic literature. For example, generally, Vedic literature is divided into two different sections. One is called Shruti and the other one is called Smriti. Isn't it? Normally, we don't have to discuss all these things, but because particularly as I mentioned, the young people and the new generation who are not familiar with these things, it's better to understand these things a little bit deeper. Because if you know the background of the scriptures, then you will know what we are going to talk later. So, Shruti and Smriti, there are two sections in the Vedic literature. What is the difference between Shruti and Smriti? Smriti is what is written by the sages. Taking the essence from the Shruti, they have given us a way of life in this world in such a way that by living in that particular way, what they have mentioned, following those rules and regulations, it will eventually prepare us for developing the knowledge in Shruti. The knowledge is in Shruti. Upanishads are a part of Shruti, isn't it? So, in order to understand this Shruti or Upanishad's knowledge, or Shruti. Shruti include, we'll come to that later. So in order to understand Shruti and to absorb the knowledge in Shruti, the sages out of there, because they thought through our life very much, everyone, when they take a material body and come to this world, he brings with him a lot of desires. Isn't it? Human society is generally called agrahajivi. Agrahajivi means he is full of desires inside. We all come to this world with desires inside. So the sages understood that so long as you have this material desires inside, and if you allow the person to go without any control, what will happen? He will simply go after sense gratification and destroy his life. So in order that there is some control on a person, and slowly to bring him out of his material desires, and to develop vairagyam and bhakti inside, the sages have created a structure and a literature to drive us, to guide us through in this world. And that is known as smriti. Manusmriti is one of them. There are other smritis also. Parashara smriti, Yajnavalkya smriti, all the great sages, they have written smritis. So smriti is meant for this purpose. Smriti is only to prepare us so that this, instead of going after filling the desires, fulfilling the desires, the mind gets some control and able to shift its focus from sense gratification to what? To devotion, knowledge and renunciation, which is necessary for going up in the spiritual life. Isn't it? So in order to develop spiritual life, these are the qualities what's required. But if somebody is rushing for money and rushing for position and suffering for followers in this world, and if you start thinking that I can execute spiritual life along with that, it won't happen. The sages knew this very well. Because they knew it, they thought that the right way to do things is regulate them, restrict them, and bring them to this understanding slowly. So they gave us the smritis. So through the process of smriti, that it says here, so many purificatory processes, for example, for the brahmanas there is about 40 odd purificatory processes mentioned. Smartha karma they are called. In all these different karma, what we execute, what are they? For example, pumsavanam, simandam, chaulam, upanayanam, vivaham. Then likewise there are listed in the anaprashanam. And all of them are meant only to bring some discipline into our own life. That is the goal of all this smriti. Goal of all this smriti. So the society which follows smriti rigidly will find much easier to go in the spiritual direction. Why we have so much problem now in spiritual life is because we have no discipline in our life also. And therefore, now at the age of 50 and 60, if you want to bring everything, now it's not possible. The time is gone. And this requires a society where the elders and the members of the society follow very strictly the needs of the instructions. But anyhow, that is not existing today, but that's another thing. But Shastram is Shastram, that you can't change. Shastram is saying, if you follow the smriti, you will become prepared, or you will develop that necessary control over your own mind and your own life in this world. You can see also people who live in this world without any restrictions, how their life turns out at the end. Either most of the life will develop into sense gratification, and when sense gratification cannot be done anymore, then what will happen? It will end up in disaster, some serious distress, either illnesses or eventually they give up the body and leave this world. We know that. It is always seen in this world, isn't it? That's why discipline is first thing. And then discipline, you can't enforce on first day itself. As you grow, accordingly the suitable discipline also. That's why smriti is like that. As I mentioned before, in Krishna's Ekadasha Skandam, all the stage is over. That also you have to remember. Ekadasham is spoken at a much later date. Here, we can't now talk about Smriti anymore, and you can't bring Smriti back into your life. We are in such a stage in life. Tomorrow, if we become paralyzed, or if we lie down, both hands and legs cannot do anything, what sodharmam can you execute? What dharmam can you execute at that point? There is not much time left in this world. There is not a lot you can do as far as bringing all this discipline is concerned. So therefore, while speaking Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has not talked about these things. Krishna is saying, leave all that now. That stage is finished. This has to happen from the very beginning, not at the late, at the fag end of the life. That's not possible to do it. So having said that, Krishna is saying here that the smartha karmam is meant for this. In order to purify oneself and bring that discipline so that there is easily a person able to understand the purpose of life, the purpose of human life is understood easily. He will understand that renunciation is necessary, knowledge is necessary, and devotion is necessary. Then, not only that, now we go into Smriti. So Smriti's purpose is this much. What about Shruti? Shruti is this thing. Shruti and Smriti we talked about. Shruti means, Shruti is much more important. If you understand the definition of Shruti, it is such an impressive definition of the Shruti. Shruti means, there is one truth which is unchanging, eternal. There is one truth which is unchanging, eternal. Remember these words, unchanging. This knowledge doesn't change. It never changes. It's not like science, which changes, isn't it? They find something, they change tomorrow, or another time they change. It can always change. But this is something which never changes. Never changes. That knowledge, and it is a reality, exists forever. Exists forever. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you find that is called Satyam. Satyam means the truth. That's the truth. And that is what is discussed in Shruti. Shruti is nothing but the definition. By definition itself, Shruti means that thing which talks about only the eternal truth. Only the eternal truth. That truth unchanging. That is important. In other words, if you realize this truth, there is nothing more to realize after that. If you realize this truth, you don't have to change anything after that. If there is something existing like that, that is what Shruti is talking about. So, it is not a simple thing that one can go and study Shruti straight away. You think, oh, give me the book, give me the CD, give me the cassette, let me search in the internet, find out what Shruti says. No, you won't understand anything from the Shruti. That's why it's kept very confidential. Krishna has kept it deliberately confidential. That unless a person has acquired all the qualities, what is necessary to understand Shruti, Shruti should not be spoken to him. This is the law. Shruti should not be given to someone who is not ready to receive it properly. Because if you give it to someone, something like that, what will happen? He will make it like a monkey has a garland. He will make, do what will the monkey do with the garland? He will tear it into pieces, isn't it? And destroy everything. And he will confuse everybody with that. So therefore, Shruti is kept away from everybody. Only when one has come to the platform, because Shruti, what we are talking about, all the Vedas, all the Upanishads which are coming in there, and then our Acharyas who have mastered this Shruti and Smriti, they have created a foundation for us to work with. They started with a foundation for us. So here, so we'll stop here today. We'll come next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadaya Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Are you saying
could I ask you a quick question?
I just
want to give them.
Yeah. You know the Shumabhara has ten sentences. Which verse is Swarga, Niswarga?
Second canto. Second canto, ninth chapter, first verse.
Oh, you have to go to the music. You have to go to the.
Sorry, you're saying that.
Now before we can stop now.
That's a long form. Sounds like meditation. So I was just wondering that. Maybe a next one.